The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information. From the heart of New York City and the tri-state area to the most active real estate hotspots across America. Keeping you plugged in to the latest real estate market trends, from mortgage news and legal developments to everything you need to know about buying or selling a property, benefited by the advice of the experts. Now, here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
I'm Dottie Herman. We're back. And remember, call us in 866-970-9622. I have one of my most knowledgeable real estate guests about real estate in New York City and one of my favorite guests. And I'm sure he's one of your favorite guests also. Love him on the show, Alfred Renner. He is a top sales manager for Douglas Elliman's largest office, which is larger than most companies, okay? They're one office. So good morning or good afternoon or whatever time you want to call it now, Alfred. Okay, I always talk to you when I say, you know, we just got off the first hour and I have an attorney on that kind of was very negative, you know, in the sense of what's going on. And of course, we have a lot of work to do. But the same token, if you look at the rental market, and most of New York are renters, it's off the wall, and people are paying the rents. And I always tell people, what's something worth? Well, something is worth whatever someone's willing to pay for it. So if they're willing to pay those rents, obviously the demand is still there. What are you seeing, Alfred, in the real estate market?
Well, good morning, Dottie, and thank you once again for having me on your show. You know how much I enjoy doing your show and how much I respect and admire you and your accomplishments.
Thank you.
What am I seeing in New York? It's a city. It's a crazy, loving, it's a love-hate relationship with New York City. That's what New Yorkers have with it. What's going on? You know, we just experienced a bump in the interest rates, and buyers are very sensitive to interest rates and what's happening with them. Whether you're paying all cash or not, people are still sensitive to the interest rates. But I will say the first couple of weeks of the month have been very strong for us in the market in terms of signed contracts. And when we look at a comparison to the same time last year, we're actually ahead of last year. So that's a positive sign. And that could be because when it was slower earlier in the year, that's a period in which we built up pent-up demand. So what I like to tell my agents is if it's quiet, that's a positive sign. That's we're building demand. And that demand then gets released as soon as there's some slight change in the financial situation or a release in market stats. But, you know, there are people that have to buy and there are people that have to sell. Life goes on. It doesn't matter what's going on with politics.
Exactly. Laws. And what I said before is I bought a house when it was 15.5% interest rates. Okay, that's what the interest rates said. And you couldn't even lock in your rate. However, I bought something very small, and I don't think you can let interest rates affect you. Now, I know some people stayed on the sidelines this year because of interest rates. However, as you can see, if you stayed on the sidelines, you wasted your time because they didn't end up really going down. But there is more inventory. There's still, again, as I said at the beginning of the show, we had so little that even with more inventory, there's still not an oversupply. But it might make it a little bit easier for you to have some negotiability with a landlord. You might be able to negotiate, but there's still bidding wars. And as far as the rentals, they're off the wall. Okay, the rentals, you know, are off the wall. People are just still, you know, they're willing to pay. And again, I think the average rental is over $4,000. So what I tell people is, you know, if your price is too high, someone's not going to pay it. But as long as people are paying it, then that means that, they're willing to spend that money.
You know, Dottie, New York City is made up of five boroughs. And there are completely different price points in,
each of the boroughs.
We like to think of Manhattan as being the center where the most of the business and offices are, and that's the hub of New York City. And people have a choice. If people want to live on the island of Manhattan and they're willing to pay the prices, they're going to pay the prices for that convenience, for that luxury of possibly, you know, being able to walk home from work, being near Central Park or being in the downtown district. People don't have to live in Manhattan if they don't need to. They can live in an outside borough. We have people that live in New Jersey, Long Island, Westchester, and they commute into Manhattan. It's a choice. People have lots of choices.
Now, Alfred, I'm just getting your opinion. There's no, we're not going to know until it happens. How do you think the congestion pricing is going to affect New York? Do you think that's a positive, a negative? I mean, I don't think we're really going to know until it's really here a while and we get rid of the kinks. But what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's kind of funny because they want to put in congestion pricing so people don't drive into the city. Yet they want to collect money. So how are you going to collect money if people aren't driving into the city, if you just look at the extremes of it? But how is it going? Is it going to affect housing? I don't think so. I don't think it's going to affect housing at all because, you know, look, $15, and nobody wants to pay an extra $15 a day. But you know what? If you're buying an apartment for $500,000, $2 million, $4 million, you're not going to allow the congestion pricing to dictate whether you buy, you know, below 60th Street or above 60th Street. It's not going to do that. You know, it's no different than the taxi cabs go up in price. Do you think the world stopped taking taxis in Manhattan? No. You keep taking the taxi. There's more charges slapped onto that taxi ride. 10 years ago, what used to be $10 is now $25 in a taxi ride. Do you still take taxis? Yes. It's just part of the absorption of the cost of living in Manhattan. You know, I don't know, maybe you don't buy a Starbucks every day and you pay for the taxi or you pay for the congestion pricing. So, you know, I hope the city will actually make money off of this and put it into the mass transit, which will improve the mass transit. It's actually a positive thing. It's no different than an assessment on a building. You know, every building every once in a while has an assessment where the owners, the residents pay an additional cost, but that cost goes into the infrastructure of the capital improvements of the building. It makes it a better building. It actually adds value. So the congestion pricing.
So what advice would you give our listeners if they have, you know, let's say they're an empty nester, they're moving to Manhattan, or they're a first time buyer? What kind of general advice would you give to people who, because look, I was from Long Island, and when I became CEO of Douglas Elliman, it took me a while to figure out all the co-ops, the condos, the offering plans. You know, it's complicated. How, you know, it's not as easy as buying in the suburbs. It's just very different. Then you have to know the building's financials. It's a whole bunch. So what would you give advice to our listeners? If they're coming to Manhattan, whether it's to buy a pied-à-terre, to relocate there, to have a child go to school, or buy an apartment for them, what advice would you give them?
The single most important thing for a buyer to do is to take on an agent, a real estate broker that will represent you and your best interests. The National Association of Realtors put out a full-page ad earlier this week, 111 things a buyer's broker does for the buyer, okay? In Manhattan, you can add to that the whole board process and navigating purchasing in high-rise buildings, vertical living, which is very different than buying in houses. You have to have someone that you trust and have confidence in. They will educate you. They will take you through the process step by step. Buying in a co-op is not like buying a house, and quite often buyers coming from outside of Manhattan are shocked by the process. They go through it, but it can be a very invasive process. But once you understand why you're going through that, and that you're buying into a building and you're sharing this with other people, you have to make sure that the buyers are financially sound and right for the building.
Right. You don't want to have your building end up with a lot of vacancies because they can't afford rent, because that will affect everyone's resale value. I mean, if you go to a building that has a million vacancies, it's going to push everything down. So that's why they're particular in who buys.
Yeah, we don't have bankruptcies in Manhattan, either whether it's condos or in co-ops. We don't have that. They may be an outlier, but for the most part, whenever the country is going through some sort of a financial stress, there are bankruptcies or foreclosures. We don't experience that in Manhattan. And that's because
the co-ops and condos, you have to have a certain amount down. Some have to have reserve money, extra money on top of that. So, they're pretty good in making sure that that happens. Is there any particular place that you would say to somebody, I asked you this once before, and you might have said the Upper East Side, but that where you think that deals are happening, well, not where deals are happening, where you can get a good deal, and where are most deals happening? Is there any particular part of the city?
So the number one in terms of contracts and properties being sold is the downtown area, which is south of 34th Street. But coming in very, very close to that, Dottie, is the east side. And the east side offers a tremendous amount of opportunity and value. And a lot of new construction now as well. So many people that had moved downtown are now moving to the Upper East Side, especially people that have kids and sending them to schools. But there's also a lot of single people, married couples, young children. It's a big mix. So it's downtown and East Side are the two prime areas for purchasing in Manhattan.
Right. And one of the things that I quickly learned when I came to Manhattan from doing real estate in Long Island most of my life, then I noticed that properties that were close to schools sold faster than properties that didn't have schools around them. So, you know, the proximity to schools is also important, and proximity to transportation is important.
Well, you know, my suggestion would be for someone coming from outside Manhattan to Manhattan is you have to decide, why are you purchasing in Manhattan? What's your lifestyle? Are you coming to Manhattan because you need to work, or are you coming to Manhattan as a pied-à-terre? Do you want to be able to walk to theater, music, downtown? So you want to live, if you can, you want to live closer to the area in which you will spend most of your time. And then that's going to sort of dictate, because sometimes there are people that say, I don't know if I want to live uptown, downtown, east side, west side. That can drive a broker crazy. Okay, I'll look at everything. No, you can't look at everything. Why are you here? Well, we like the arts. We like Lincoln Center. Well, then that's the place to start, is in the vicinity of the west side. Tons of restaurants and tons of culture there. So that's key. A lot of people will rent the first year just to get the feel for the area. And that could also be a good idea, because perhaps that's not the right location for you, and renting gives you the ability to change locations. If you're there for work and you want to be able to walk to work, then maybe that's what's going to dictate. So it really depends on where you are in your life If you've got kids and you're sending them to school, then that's gonna be the priority of where you live.
Right. And Brooklyn, the median rents also rose. So it's very much in demand. And I was in Florida a lot this year. And what I found, what I noticed is, during the pandemic, and let's face it, New York got hit so badly, people left. They went to the Hamptons, they went to Florida, they went to places just to get out of New York because we were basically totally locked down. However, when they stayed in those places for a while, after a while, they wanted to come back to New York. I see it in Florida, okay? As much as people say, oh, yes, I left for Florida, taxes, this, that, lower taxes, New York is the most high-tax state. At the end of the day, I see them all go home, okay? Because there's something about New York City that is so unique to any other city in the country. And this is just my opinion, Alfred, but my opinion is New York City accepts everyone. No one looks out of place. You can walk around nude. It doesn't matter. And they really accept everybody and everything. And it's such a mix. You could have a $10 million apartment and a block away, there's something in rent control. So, I think, and you get such a diversity of people that I really think that you grow from that.
This is very true. In Manhattan, you have a complete mixture of people living on the same block, traveling on the subway train, in the bus. You never know who someone is. They may be an accountant. They may be a bagel maker. They may be a CEO of a major, international company. They may be a political family from another country. You have a complete mix of everybody, and that's one of the big things that people love about Manhattan is the mix of cultures. You walk down the city block, and you hear every different language being spoken every day, and that's part of the big draw of being in Manhattan. Outside of the restaurants and the shopping and theater, there's such a crazy mix. No 2 days go by where they're the same.
But I'm going to tell you something. If I were going to apply for a job, you know what it would be? A PR person for New York City. Because when you look, and again, I understand media, they have to put bad news, that's what sells papers. But God, you can tell, there's bad to everything. There's things that we certainly have to improve. Affordable housing. I think that the mayor was just given $2.4 billion in assistance to accommodate the wave of migrants coming in. But at the end of it, but they only show what's bad about New York City. Like, oh, this man put himself on fire the other day, which, God, if I was going to kill myself, that would not be the way I would do it. That's got to be painful. But there's so many wonderful things, and they don't stress that anymore. So, when I'm in Florida, I'm watching news about New York. It's always the bad stuff. And there's so many great things about New York, okay? So I think what you said, and I tell everyone this advice, no matter where you're going to live, if it's a place you've never lived before, my advice, and I'm sure yours is the same, Alfred, rent a year first, make sure you're happy in that area, make sure you like it, and visiting someplace, if you visit, whether it's Florida, whether it's New York City, if you visit something on a vacation, that is not an indication of how it's going to be to live there.
Yeah, Dottie, it's very interesting. But if New York was as bad as the news makes it sound, why do millions of people live there?
And exactly.
why is the rental vacancy maybe 2%? Why isn't it 50%?
Exactly. So obviously there's a demand. Okay, and I just think that New York needs to do a little bit better PR themselves because, we have a break coming up, we're going to be back, and they're talking about New York. I'm going to have Alfred finish up talking about New York, Estill's, co-ops, and what's going, you know, summarize what's going on. And we'll be right back. We'll give you a summary on New York City and what to expect if you look to buy or sell there.
Over the last 30 years, Newman Ferrara, a New York City law firm, has evolved into a national practice focused on real estate, commercial, litigation, civil rights, class actions, and other complex litigation, representing many of the city's largest property owners, managing agents, and thousands of tenants. Newman Ferrara handles some of the nation's most significant class actions and civil rights matters. Newman Ferrara at 1250 Broadway in New York City. Go online to NewmanFerrara.com. That's NewmanFerrara.com. Listen to the firm's name partner, Lucas Ferrara, every Saturday at 10 a.m. on Dottie Herman's longest-running real estate radio program, Eye on Real Estate on AM 970. A real estate lawyer for 35 years, Lucas is a professor at New York Law School and is also a published author with books on real estate and New York's landlord-tenant law. Tune in Saturdays at 10 a.m. to hear Lucas's unique perspective and advice on Eye on Real Estate.
Are you ready to embark on an unforgettable expedition to Alaska this summer? Then join me, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, along with Mike Gallagher and our special guests on the Patriots Alaska Cruise, sailing over 4th of July weekend. Learn more at patriotsalaskacruise.com. This experience is a chance to participate in spirited discussions and thought-provoking lectures with like-minded patriots and sought-after speakers. 7 action-packed days will chart a course toward a bright American future, all while surrounded by Alaska's rustic and natural wonders on a luxury cruise ship. You'll experience powerful creation immersed in the splendor of glaciers and fjords. Join Mike Gallagher and me June 29th to July 6th. Secure your cabin today by calling 855-565-5519 or book online at patriotsalaskacruise.com. That's 855-565-5519, patriotsalaskacruise.com.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow don't have the support of box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. It's part of this cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly on to you. They are having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a problem solution, one product company. Since then, with the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products. To get the word out, they're having a $25 extravaganza. 2-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. My pillow sandals, $25. The 6-pack towel set, $25. The 4-pack dish towels, you guessed it, $25. For the first time ever, premium My Pillows with all new Giza fabric, any size and any loft level, just $25. This amazing offer will not last long, so order now. Go to mypillow.com or call 800-651-0798. Use the promo code Joe P.
Continuing with Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information, here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
I'm back with Alfred Renner, one of the most knowledgeable guys and one of the biggest sales managers of Douglas Elliman, and God knows everything about real estate. And we're just going through some points about Manhattan. And besides, is there any advice or what would you say, is happening? Is it a high demand? I know there was not a lot of inventory, so nobody had a lot of sales this year because we had shortage of inventory. Is that opening up a bit?
You know, Dottie, in the spring market, every spring market, there's a bit more on the market. But, earlier you mentioned all the people or many people that moved out of Manhattan. However, when they moved out of Manhattan, they didn't sell their properties. They kept them. So those apartments never came on the market. And a lot of people that now have made living in Florida full-time or California or Texas full-time keep their apartments in Manhattan because they don't want to let go. They want to come back once a month, twice a month, whatever it is. They want to come back for friends. They want to come back for the medical community, culture, art, restaurants. So those never came on the market. That's one group that's not selling. The other group that's not selling.
And you know what, Alfred? Working at home from the, an outcome of the pandemic where you don't have to always be in the office every day, made it easier for people to do that.
Yes, it made it easier, and they have that, and that's a luxury, okay? Not everyone is in the position to do that. That's a luxury. The other people that are not moving are the people that have 2.5%, under 3% interest rates on mortgages. They're not moving. Why would you give that up?
No, if you bought during the pandemic, why would you give that up?
They're not giving that up, so they're not moving because it's, for those people, it's too expensive to trade up or to move. You don't want to give up a 2.5% interest fixed rate mortgage and jump into a 7. So that's not moving right now either. What is moving are people that are the majority of people are paying cash. You know, you always ask the question, where does it come from? But it doesn't matter in all price ranges, whether it's a $250,000 studio, a $900,000 one bedroom, or a $95 million penthouse. A lot of people pay cash. It's
and
incredible.
And that's all, Ralph, and not just in the city. People are choosing to pay cash. I don't know why. I'm not sure why, but people have cash on their hands and maybe they don't know where to put it down, so they put it in real estate. And remember, well, something, when you have it in your house, you can always use it for something else if you take out
And Dottie, and keep in mind right now with these tight interest rates, the price points to buy are lower, okay? They're lower right now. So if someone's buying that apartment today for cash, they can always refinance when the rates come down. But when the rates come down, there's going to be a surge of buyers in the marketplace who are going to push the prices up.
Well, that's such a good point.
Mm-hmm.
That if you wait until, first of all, I said on the first hour, you can't time the real estate market. If you're in the market, you want to buy, and you qualify and you find something you love, buy it. You can always refinance it. There's no such thing as waiting. But I will tell you exactly what you said is right. As inventory comes out, and if interest rates did go down to 5.5%, you'd see so many more buyers, and that would raise prices. Right now,
yes.
I think prices are on the sidelines. They're kind of moving, a little different. You can get a little more negotiability, but they're moving on the sidelines. If the interest rate went down to 5%, you'd have that much more competition, and it would end up making prices, in my opinion, higher.
It will make prices higher. We you said you can't time the market, but we know the cycles. We've been doing this long enough to know the cycles, and we're in that cycle right now. Interest rates are high, prices are low. Interest rates come down, prices go up because there's competition.
Remember, once you buy a house, you can't change the price. But if you buy a house and finance it with interest rates, you can always refinance and get it, you can change those payments. Or,
yes.
Don't forget, I don't have time to do it today, but you don't have to get a conventional mortgage. Most people don't live in the place for 30 years anyway.
No.
And that's what you're paying for. And if you think, and again, another point I just want to say is that you lock in a mortgage rate when you think mortgage rates are low. So if you don't think they're low now and you think they're going to go lower, you might not want to pay for a 30-year fixed mortgage. You might want to take a cheaper mortgage that's adjustable, keep it, you'll pay a lower interest rate now, and then wait until you feel the interest rates came down to a thing that you feel is a good number, and then refinance. That's what I did.
Of course. We're all comfortable with the refinancing. It's how you play the market and how you take advantage of mortgages and how to save money. And any good mortgage broker or banker can explain that to a buyer.
Yeah, I had someone ask me the other day, my son wants to buy something. He has the money, this and that, but he's nervous. You have to start somewhere. Okay? You have to start somewhere. So you take something smaller, maybe something that you can afford, or you take out an adjustable mortgage. I don't recommend an equity mortgage because I just don't. But there's so many different vehicles that you can use. And if you're young and you think you're going to get a better job, then why do you want to lock in? And maybe you don't want to lock in at the rates now.
So, and you don't have to.
Yes, and so there's so many different ways to buy I really don't think people understand there's a lot of programs for first-time buyers, that if you're a first-time buyer, you should investigate to see if you qualify for one of them. And then, as I think Alfred would tell you, the same advice, you've got to find a good broker. When the broker says, move it, go see this property now, it just came on the market, you better be there. And even if you don't like it, it's work, you got to go there. But how would you classify the market? If you were, if someone said, okay, what's the New York City market like today, what would you classify? Would you say a buyer's market, a seller's market? Neither one?
You know, Dottie, it's never one market. There are many, many sub-markets within the market. One of the hottest areas is the West Village today, and prices are only going up in the West Village. New developments are always in demand now because people don't want to do work if they don't have to do work. They like new.
Yes, and it's a pain in the neck to do work in the city, I'll tell you that. I mean, you've got to go by the rules. A new development took a lot of the deals this week were new developments. And I also read that that Central Park South, you know, where you looked at the park and everything, had the priciest park frontage in the city. But that's changed. And now Central Park South is the second priciest. The median price for recent sales along the Hudson River part in Chelsea was higher.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It was higher.
It says, a new survey from Property Shark looked at sales in the past 12 months facing Manhattan parks. Now, this is facing parks. And found that apartments bordering Hudson River Park in Chelsea have the greatest surcharge, edging out units along Central Park's swankiest strip in central Midtown.
Okay, there's a place for everyone. Not everyone wants to live over on the west side, on the Hudson, based on how you're commuting or what your lifestyle is.
Yes.
So some people will prefer to be more central, like a Central Park South. You know, if you a lot of residents in Manhattan have weekend homes, whether it's in Connecticut or New Jersey or the Hamptons. And so that's a big consideration of driving in and out of the city. And if you're on if you live on the Hudson, you have a house in the Hamptons, that's, you're adding a lot more commuting time. So it varies, but you know what? That's a beautiful view on the Hudson. It's a fascinating view with the boats and the airplanes and the helicopters. But some people want the park, the changing seasons. You can't beat the four seasons of Central Park, right?
Oh no! There's no better park than that. You really can't compare it. And I said the energy and the excitement. You know, and I was in Florida a lot, and Florida's great. It's easy. It's easy breezy. The prices are really high. They're skyrocketing here, but still probably cheaper than New York. But there's something that New York has that I think is so special that no one else has, and that's the diversity of so many people living under, you know, just close together, you know, and some of them are dressed beautifully, some of them are rags, some of them have, and it doesn't really matter. And so you know, you grow a lot from that. But I do think, if you looked at I don't know if you listened to the beginning of the show, but we talked about the governor's plan to, you know, so that for affordable housing, and the mayor just gets a $2.4 billion for immigrant housing. But with affordable housing, what they're looking to do, Alfred, is tell a landlord, look, if Dottie, if I rent your apartment, Alfred, and I'm a good tenant, and now my lease is up, you have to renew it with me. You can't tell me I can't renew it. However, and then you can only raise it up to 10%. Okay, I know we have a commercial. You can only raise it up to 10%. And even if somebody offered you 20. And I just want to get your feel on that. We're going to be right back after commercial. And then I'm sure we have another guest coming soon. But I just want to get your feel on that outfit and what you think that's going to do to the market. We'll be right back after a quick commercial break. I just want to hear, and again, like hearing different opinions on things.
Spring into savings during Invite Health's Buy 2, Get 40% Off sales event. The sale is on now. Buy two bottles of any Invite Health product and receive 40% off retail. That's buy two bottles, get 40% off retail. Call us now to get your spring savings today. The number for Invite is 800-673-2345. That's 800-673-2345. Introducing our brand new gummy supplements. Gelatin-free, no artificial colors or flavors, just pure goodness from nature. Try our new fiber gummy for digestion and regularity. Make your skin, hair, and joints happy with our new collagen gummy. Don't forget to order the probiotic gummy for a healthy gut. Take advantage of Invite's limited time buy two, get 40% off sales event. Call us now at 800-673-2345. That number again, 800-673-2345, or go to invitehealth.com.
You know, the boys this summer are back at it, and Route 22 Toyota in Hillside, New Jersey means it's time for their Grand Slam event. Our friend Alex Kinsella is a big baseball fan. He's celebrating the season with the best offers of the year, like zero down leases on all your favorite Toyota models. 1.99% APR financing for up to 72 months. At Route 22 Toyota, they're offering unbelievable lease deals starting at just $79 a month on some of your favorite Toyota models. Call them today, 973-705-8905, and have Alex's team show you how easy it is to get into a new Toyota during their Grand Slam event. Again, that's 973-705-8905. You speak with someone from Route 22 Toyota about your favorite Toyota model. And remember, everybody drives thanks to their goal for 100% credit approval during their Grand Slam event from Route 22 Toyota in Hillside, New Jersey. Tell them Joe sent you.
Offers end April 30th, subject to primary lender approval. Leasing and financing on select new Toyota models through TFS. Not all buyers will qualify. Call or visit Route 22 Toyota. For details.
We can tell you about the incredible success we bring to local businesses, but it's better when it comes directly from our satisfied clients. Here's just one example.
After searching for a new vendor to handle my search marketing campaign, I contacted Salem Surround after seeing the great work they did for another restoration company in the different market. Their team of experts recommended a mix of multiple tactics designed to get my business the most quality leads at the lowest cost, making my marketing budget stretch further. In our first year partnering with Salem Surround, we recorded our best year to date, and I've told many people how blessed I was to find them. The representative answered the phone every time I called and quickly addressed any questions or concerns I had.
Let Salem Surround give you an absolutely free audit of your current marketing and show you what your competition is doing. Then we come up with a personalized plan that's perfect for your needs. Google Salem Surround New York and let our marketing experts help you achieve real success. Remember to Google Salem Surround New York today.
Continuing with Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information. Here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
We're back, and remember, I love hearing from you, so don't email, don't be afraid to call. 866-972-9666. I have Alfred Renner on the phone, and we're talking about, and to wrap up the Manhattan market, basically I had asked Alfred right before the break, because we talked about it most of this show, with the governor's new proposal of good faith eviction, which is if I rent an apartment from Alfred, then he has to rent it to me again as long as I'm a good tenant, and he can only raise me up to 10%. And by the way, Alfred, that's any property, any person that has property, less than 10 properties is exempt. So these are more for the bigger, you know, real estate owners. Now, to me, okay, that's great if you're a tenant because you can guarantee your apartment renewal. But if I'm a landlord, now, and I have to look at both sides, and let's say somebody else, I offer you, I released with you, I was a good tenant, you're going to renew my lease, and you can only raise me up to, like, I think it's 8 or 10%. And now somebody offers me 20% and I can't take it. So there's two sides to that. I understand, you know, she's trying to keep it affordable and safe, and, you know, people to be able to live here. And you would want to be protected by the fact that they can't throw you out just for anything. But what does that do to people buying investment properties?
It's a very good question. I will tell you this. My personal opinion is I would not purchase real estate in Manhattan for the purposes of just renting it out as an investment property. I would not do that. I'd stay clear away from it. I would rather buy a house as an investment property where I'm not subject to the same control. You have to look at both sides of it. I understand being a tenant, and you need to be able to plan your life, right? Especially if you have a family. You can't just pick up and move out because you were thrown out and they're not getting your lease renewed. Although, as a tenant, when you first come into a property, you do have the ability to negotiate a 2-year lease or a 3-year lease so that you can secure that for a longer period of time. But if you're a landlord, you have to be able to afford the upkeep of the property. And I think as a big landlord, these are some of the aspects that you have to take into consideration, the cost factors of possible limitations of what you can and cannot do with the property. You know, for some reason, Dottie, it works because 75% of the buildings in Manhattan are rental buildings. And there are all kinds of rental buildings. You can have simple walk-ups called taxpayers. You walk up 2, 3, 4 flights and you have a little apartment. And we also have skyrocketing high-rises, you know, $30,000, $50,000,
$75,000. Alfred, I can never get enough information from you. You have to come back on again and finish this up. I just have another guest that's waiting, but you have to come back soon, okay, because I really, there's so much more to talk about, and you can't get it all done in 40 minutes. So have a good weekend, and I hope you'll be back in the next week or two. And now I'm pleased to offer, I am so excited to have him. I need this advice. Andrew Mellon, who's an organizational expert known as the most organized man in America. Well, that certainly I want to meet because that is not me. The most organized man in America, he's a public speaker and the author of Unstuff Your Life, Kick the Clutter Habit, and completely organize your life for good, and I certainly can use help with that. So good afternoon, Andrew.
Hi, Dottie. It's great to be with you.
Well, I don't know why you're laughing, because for someone like me, gosh, I just want to steal advice from you, and even then I have to turn it into habit. So give us some tips, and give us what's the first step. You know, it's almost overwhelming, and I'm actually moving out of an apartment now that I have, and that is just a pain in the neck. What is the first step a homeowner should take if they're preparing for spring cleaning, or, you know, they want to clear out their apartment, make it bigger, or they move into something? What would you give, what advice would you give them?
Sure. Well, I'm just going to tell you super quick. My second book is called The Most Organized Man in America's Guide to Moving. So before you start to pack, you might want to just pick that up over on Amazon. And now let's talk about spring cleaning a little bit. When it comes to spring cleaning, if we're talking about apartment dwellers, there's probably not too much to do outside. If we're talking about people that do have, whether they're, adjoining homes, houses, townhouses, or their freestanding houses, you have the option of starting outside the house or inside the house. And really, wherever you start, inside or outside, I suggest starting high and working your way down, because you're just going to make a mess. And if you started on the floor of your apartment, if we're talking about apartments, and you're working your way up to the ceiling, you're just going to have to clean twice. So start high, work your way down. You would want to hit the crown molding. You'd want to hit the ceiling fans, any light fixtures, things like that. Work your way down, do the drapes until you get down to the floor, the rugs, and things like that. And I have actually a comprehensive guide to spring cleaning that I can certainly make available to your listeners, because I love you and want to support you and them in making this easier for them. We can get that as a PDF that you can put on your website.
That would be great. Okay. And yeah. For those of you, and I always tell people, if you're driving, please don't try to write this down. I will post all of
information
on my site and the radio and all the books. Because I have to tell you, now you would think when you sell houses, and I've been doing it my whole life, seeing houses, that people would be at least organized when they sell them. But some of them are not. And you know what? You don't realize until you start moving how much stuff we accumulate. You know, over the years, you just don't realize it. So, what advice would you, I'm sure this is all in your book, which is, you know, off the top of your head, some of the things that you would recommend people do, whether it's spring cleaning or whether they're just trying to, you know, get rid of stuff, which we always do.
Right, so let's start with the organizational triangle, which is how I encourage everybody to get and stay organized. The first two legs of the triangle, one home for everything and like with like, are how we get organized. The third leg of the triangle, something in, something out, is how we stay organized. One home for everything means everything has one home and only one home. So, Dottie, where you keep your keys can be different from where I keep my keys, but your keys have a home, my keys have a home. They can only ever be one of two places, in our hand unlocking something or in their home. When you apply this rule, you will find anything in 30 seconds or less.
You're right. You will be like me looking for my keys all over the place.
Yeah. We don't want that. All of that is wasted time, ultimately, and you're never going to get that time back. So let's apply the first principle. And then the second rule, like with like, means all like objects live together, not some of them. So instead of keeping most of the tools in the toolbox in the bottom of the utility closet and then keeping the Phillips head screwdriver in the junk drawer in the kitchen, we want to keep all the tools in the toolbox, because the reality is that when you need the Phillips head screwdriver, the first place you're going to go is to the toolbox. And if you don't find it there, you might even find yourself running out to the hardware store, picking up another screwdriver. And then 3 weeks later, when you're digging around through the junk drawer, suddenly you find the Phillips head screwdriver. And I promise you, the first thought you think is not, aha, here it is. Your first thought is, who's the bozo who put it here? Why isn't it with all the other tools? Your second thought is probably, this was my great idea because I wanted it right at my fingertips in the kitchen so I could tighten up the knobs on these cabinets. And your third thought is probably, now that I remember what I did, I'll never forget it again. And I promise you, without exception, in 30 seconds, you'll forget your great time-saving hack, and you'll just repeat that behavior and over again. One home for everything and like with like will cure disorganization. Now, you still might need to declutter. Once all like objects are together, you might still discover, now that all my sweaters are together, I actually have 37 black mock turtleneck sweaters. I don't need that many. But when they're squirreled around in different drawers and different shelves in the closet, you don't really have a full understanding of the quantity of what you have. So before you declutter, I always suggest that everybody bring all like objects together, because one off, every time you pull up one of those mock turtlenecks, you're like, I love this one. I remember where I bought it. It was on sale. It's a Donna Karen. You know, it looks really good, except for that little hole in the elbow. Well, if I wear a blouse over it, maybe nobody will know. And then, you know, or I can wear a sport coat over it and I can, you know, I can get a couple more years out of its life. All of that's legitimate, except when you put it with all of its siblings and you go, actually I have one that looks just like it without the hole in the elbow. This one I could let go of. But when you try to make the decision isolated item by item, your rationalizations will just take over the conversation, and you'll argue with yourself for why this exception should be made and you should keep this individual thing. But when you're comparing them side by side by side, it becomes much easier to say, these actually are the 7 sweaters that I love, that I always look good in, and there's nothing wrong with
Andrew,
them. These other 4.
You're going to have to come on again because really you have such good advice. And truthfully, I'm going to post these books, but you really do have to come on again. So many of us really could use it. And for those of you that get the books, I'll post them on the website and on the radio website. Andrew, have a great weekend, and thank you so much. We'll have you again because we didn't even get near to all the rest. Have a great weekend, everyone. Stay healthy and happy, and we'll be back next week.
The preceding hour of programming paid for by DTHY Realty Incorporated.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.